One of the fundamental branches of Judaism, as the Mishnah tells us, Torah v'Avoda Gimlus Chasadim, the second mission, of course, in the first parak. Thank you. And it is purposeful, I believe, that Torah is put first, and then Avoda Gimlus Chasadim. That being said, those who know me well know one of my top 10 favorite vorts, especially when we're talking about business, is the vort from Eifel and the Eli Rabbah, who quotes from the Rush. And that's the idea of why there seems to be two Gemaras that are not congruent to each other, which we can normally just say is a machlekes. He does not want to learn how it's a machlekes. And what are those two Gemaras? So he says like this. Gemara number one says, Tchilas dino shel adam al divrei Torah. The first question the Rosh Hashanah is going to ask you, Achar Me'ev Yashrim Shana, for some of you, quite possibly before then, will be, looking around, the guys are sleeping upstairs, those guys, they're sick, okay. Maybe they snuck out and went to the Midbar Yehuda to you. So, Tchilas shel dino shel adam is al divrei Torah. God's going to say to you, Nu, Kaveh Yitin L'Torah. Did you set time for Torah? Gemara number two says, much more elaborate, what are the questions God's going to ask you when you get up to Shemayim? And it says the first one, Nasat v'nasat be'emunah, really means, did you have emunah? Were you honest in your business dealings? I think last week we a little bit spoke about my controversial, I don't think controversial at all. It's a Jewish view of the whole Rabashkin thing. So, you know, you're not a businessman who can talk about anything. If you can't talk about emunah, is what I mean, if you're not honest in business. It's partial. Okay? Because you could have a cute tagline of Alphabet Gimel. You need to have emunah first. Emunah is honest in business. And then it says, the second question is, and Kovei Yitin L'Torah. So why the two Gemara is different? My morning coffee. So, anybody want to guess? Could we discuss it last year? You don't remember because you had COVID. I don't know. You hear the question. It's very somewhat simple question. Even Shana Aleph guys got this answer, right? One Gemara says that the most important thing is Torah. Second Gemara says the most important thing is business, and then Torah. And the answer is not to machlokes. You always get half credit in the test, you know, if you say that. What do you think? Thoughts? Anyone? Yeah?
You're only following a Torah if you're honest in business.
Essentially, that's what I would like to say. So that's what Eli Rabbah says. He says, your Torah is worthless. I'll be more, you know, strict about it. Your Torah is worthless. I'd like to give the following example. I said this to you, I apologize. But it's a cool example. We're sitting here now, and, you know, we're having a boring shiur discussing Kibud Av V'Aim. You're going to teach me about Kibud Av V'Aim. We're talking about it, and you have to stand for your father, and it's really appropriate, and you can't be so serious. Devarah v'chula v'chula. And everybody in the shiur knows what's about to happen, because you don't realize, but it's being videoed. Your dad has some crazy way gotten into this closed country. He got in. He knows people, you know. I was at a wedding last night, and there was somebody there with his entire family from Florida. And I said to him, Mazel Tov, wow, it's amazing. How did you get in? Because if you want to remain a citizen in this country, it's better I don't tell you. Because, like, you get frustrated. He got in. Okay, fine. And what happens? You don't see it. Your dad starts walking in. And it was like, oh. And your dad walks in, and what do you say to him? Dad, 1 second, we're learning. I was like, come on, give me a hug. He's like, Dad, shush. I'm learning Torah. Can you stop? And then Rav Hartstein's like, dude, we're learning Kibud Av V'Aim. Hug your father. Are you crazy? So if I'm dishonest in my business, my Torah is worthless. I can shuck all davening in the world, and I can give Torah Vavodah Gimel Chasadim, and I can give the millions of dollars to Staka. But if I'm dishonest, it's worthless. We learn Torah to be better people. And that's essentially what I wanted to speak about today, of trying to understand what's the chelik mi'arais mi'mal. It's true, right? We seem to paskin the Gemara who tells us that a person can be yotze, right? That you can yotze just learning a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night. Maybe even further. Maybe even, if you look over there at the Tosfos, maybe even further, you could be yotze just saying Kriya Shema. You don't have to do anything. Kriya Shema is Talmud Torah. Maybe. So isn't that a machlokes with the famous line, V'yachita bo yamum v'laylo? So famously, the brisket derech is to say that the Svei Dinam over here. There's a mitzvah of limud ha-Torah, and then the yegiyas ha-Torah. Really why we're on this earth. To blood, sweat, and tears, and work hard on Torah. And let me figure out, what is my chelek? What makes me tick? What do I like? And I apologize, it may not be Gemara. And I know it's not, you know, you're not supposed to say that ever. It may not be Gemara. And some fancy schmancy rabbi can get up and tell you, you know, you, come on guys, be cool like I am. I'm a millionaire. Learn Daf Yomi. That's great. When I was at the wedding last night, a guy comes up to me and he says, what's his organization called? MDUI. He's like, dude, you're MDUI? I'm like, excuse me? I go, I don't know what he's talking about. You MDUI? I said, dude, you could say it like 60 times. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. What are you talking about? What does it stand for? Miracles Daf Yomi. Miracles Daf Yomi. So then I went and looked like this. Miracles Daf Yomi. Like, what is this? You're a cult? And he says, yeah, it's a cult. It's serious. He's like, you know, this is what a cult guy typically says. I'm not part of the cult. I don't go every day, but it's a cult. Like, you're in the cult. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. And it's an amazing thing what he's done. Wow. I'm serious now. I mean, it's crazy to see, to go on a YouTube the day after he gives a shiur and see thousands of people listen. It's remarkable to me. Wow, what a chelek he has. But then I'm a yechid. And there's amazing stories about people, including some of my friends, who got turned on from Torah just because of him. If you remember when he was speaking, my friend Donnie Fine was in the back. So his son was at the last siyum. His son, unfortunately, was not on the derech of Torah. And his father asked him one favor. Just do Daf Yomi. 30 days, because it was a short, you know, Gemara. And he did, and he says, you know, he tells the story at the Siyum, changed his life, and it's amazing. He puts filling on for the first time in 7 years. I mean, my little son, my 12-year-old, they decided in September, these are good mesechtas to do until Pesach, and he's doing Daf Yomi every day. It's remarkable. But that might be okay, like, you don't have to say, it's okay. You might be a Mishnayos guy. You might be somebody who wants to go through all of Tanakh, Be'iyah. But you need to find your chelik, because being Jewish is v'hagita bo yom v'layla. Now, clearly, there is another part to it, which is you need to know halachas. There's a very sad reality, which I find, and this is not a Leva Torah thing only, where guys simply, they come through a Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, they don't know basic halacha. Sometimes you're embarrassed, you know, they come to your house for lunch and you see the way they wash their hands for Netilas Yadayim, and you're like, maybe you did just wake up and you're doing Negelbasser, but it's Netilas Yadayim now, you know? And there are some basic things that they don't know. So it's important to delve into that, to know basic halacha. You know, I like to say, I always had this idea back when I worked in the yeshiva. I always had a dream. I'll tell you a very, very interesting story. A very strange story. If you know me well, you know, through the years I warmed up to Hasidus. I'm a product of the brisket derech, right? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. But in my kishkas, I'm Hasidish. My grandfather was, you know, from Bion, very close to the Bion Rebbe. And I remember years and years ago when we first got married, we lived in the Tinek apartments. We had the great zchus of living near a yeshiva that had just opened, the Yeshiva Gedoyla of Tinek. And Chaim Cohen, unbelievable, unbelievable Rav, who is a Dayan, my Gera Chazen. And one time, he would wear his strimal, and probably the only, maybe now it's probably different, but the only strimal in Bekush in all of Tinek. He said, can you walk me home? Which was a strange request he had. And I did, and he said to me, you really bother me. I'm like, okay. He said, "You learn from Brisk, but I know you're Hasidish. You got to be more Hasidish. You didn't mean start dressing like me. So I've warmed up to Hasidus. And around the corner is the Kapishenser Rebbe's son, the Oy of Yisrael. Oy of Yisrael is it's called, from the Oy of Yisrael, from after Rav. And when his father has come, I've gone for brachas, for chulu. It's been very warm to me. So I decided to take the job in the yeshiva many years ago. And I went to him for a bracha. He was in the community anyway. So I went there, and he gave me yechidus. And he said to me, you're starting to work in the yeshiva? Help me out with something. So he had a very interesting shita in the Kapishan's yeshiva in Yerushalayim, that guys have to have a seder of limud and halacha. He's talking about Kapishan's of Hasidim, right? He said they don't know basic halacha. Okay, so don't feel bad. They don't know halacha. He says you need to have a seder every morning of halacha. And I tried to explain to him, you got the wrong guy. I'm like, you know, the director of institutional lands. I'm like, but I believe that nothing happens for no reason. I went to Rav Boaz and I said, I'll tell you the story. Let's start something. So just around that time, there was a wonderful Rav here, Rav Cooperman. He worked for a organization among the many things that he does. Surver of Abanon. They come out with these amazing, you might have seen those books that they come out with. They've now started publishing them in English. That really helps you in understanding halacha and gives you all these marmakomas. It makes it interesting. And he was working for them, so he had the rights to... So we basically made booklets for every guy. And every morning, every shiur for a half hour, you would learn noisim and halacha. And you would understand the halacha sutsisis. And you would understand, for example, you know, the machlekes about wearing a jersey-style fishnet tzitzis, you know, that... And you would understand you remargish it. It was a really fun. So yeah, there is an inyan too, but then there's also just to make sense to you. And I don't think there's anything more important this year than establishing that. I've said this many times to you. I'll say it again. I think that minyan attendance and learning are the most important things to take from your years of Israel. They, to me, are the foundation of our religion. I don't know anymore how to define somebody as a from and who's, you know, who's successful in the yeshiva. Those are things that I think are staples. Because as a businessman, I can tell you that my commitment to tefillah three times a day with a minyan and mirtz Hashem and learning every day, that's amazing. You know, when Rav Schechter is here, as a gentleman you might see by the kolo, who's, I honestly don't know what he does for a living, but he's a Talmud of Rav Schechter, and he learns here every morning. And he's an older guy, like me. And he went to Rav Schechter. Shalom Aleichem, wow, it's great to see you. What are you doing nowadays? He said, I stopped working full-time, and I learn in the morning. I don't know if you, I assume he has works like American hours or whatever. And Rav Schechter says, "But and you have a parnas?" He says, "Yeah, my parnas is just fine, Baruch Hashem." And Rav Schechter smiled and he's like, you see, he has this dream and understands that somebody can learn. He said this before. He said, "Some of my talmidim who are not rabbeim in the yeshiva are smarter than some of our Rosh Yeshiva. They're unbelievable." So you don't know the heights that you could reach in Torah. And what if you're one of those people sitting here saying to yourself, Rav Hartzim, great stuff, but you don't know me. It's not there. I love my Rebbe. I love when you come in once a week and tell us jokes. But I tried. I really tried. I really did try. I don't like it. And, you know, similar to, I don't know, sushi, I've tried. No. You have to try it like that. You know, everyone tried to get me into sushi. I don't know why. Sushi to me is one of the foods I cannot understand at all. Cold rice, seaweed, there's not fish, which I happen not to like fish, but then cold fish. It's mamish, I don't understand. But I'm a good guy. I'll try anything. I'll try anything, especially it's food. I'll try anything. And then they said to me, this is a klal gadol by Daniel Hartstein. They said, did you ever try deep fried sushi? I'm like, deep fried sushi out any day. Anything with the word deep fried in it, including Oreo cookie, I'm there. Think, no. So is that Torah? That's tough. I tried. It's not a chiddush, what I'm saying. You may forget something. You daven for it all the time. You daven every morning in Birchas HaTorah, a very beautiful bracha of Vaharevna. You beg the Rabbeinu Shalom that the Torah should be sweet. You know what sweet Torah is? Ah. I'm sorry to be extremely honest with you, as you know I am. My year in Israel, I didn't have that sweetness. If this year goes on Vayu Torah, I want to dedicate this year to the person who definitely is responsible for turning me on to Torah. More than anybody else. I know he's embarrassed when I call him my Rebbe Mufak, my father. It's his birthday tomorrow. And my father was unique in growing up in the five towns in the years that I grew up in, having more svarim than, you know, probably combined most of the people in all of Woodmere. And always having a safer with him, and always being learned, and always being Baruch Hashem. When I had a test and I had absolutely no idea what the Gemara was talking about, or sometimes even what the Gemara was, he taught me. And I had that, but I didn't have a Rebbe that didn't work. And then something amazing happens, and I give a tremendous Hakar Satov to Rav Meir Goldwicht, and the strange way I entered his shir, which was a very, very weird story. I was not the most studious student in Hafter, surprisingly. And thank God I flourished in Shana Aleph, Torah-wise. And when the Boichin came, I was not on the high list of, they told me I couldn't go to the YP program either. In those days, they didn't have BMP. They wanted me to go to IBC. And I wanted, so I was interviewed, if I'm not mistaken, as Rabbi Shulman. And I had my Bechina again. So I was Zeicher at that time, even though I was in Shana Aleph, I was in a Shana that year. I had a wonderful Rebbe, Rav Ehud Zam. I wonder where he is today. And he started a process that helped me love Torah. And so they interviewed me, and I was my usual scammy self. I picked a Gemara Brachos because there was a piece that Rav Mordechai Willig wrote in the Am Mordechai. And I had an idea that he would ask me that question that Rav Willig asked. So I read him the Gemara, and he says to me, I have a question for you. And he asked me the question, and it's kind of one of those softballs lob it out of the park. And I'm like, oh, you asked the same question Rav Mordechai Willig asked, and I'm Mordechai. He quotes his Rebbe, he quotes Rav Shachter, he quotes Rav Soloveitchik. And I was done after 5 minutes. The guy's like, what year do you want? Eat whatever you want, man. And I was thinking about Rav Willig's year, I was thinking about other year. And I said, but I love, my shir was in Hebrew, and I really loved the Hebrew. I really loved really learning Hebrew, talking in Hebrew. And I mentioned that. And unfortunately, maybe he realized I was scamming him, because he did not put me in a shir I should have been in. He put me in, you should live and be real, with Eliyahu ben Hayim, the Haham. He was, he may still be in YU, Sephardi Rosh Yeshiva. The little problem is, I'm not Sephardi. I know I look very Sephardi. I'm not Sephardi. He put me in this year because they needed numbers because it was his first year. And there were a few Ashkenazi guys in shir. And every day when we were done with shir, Sephardim learned very differently than Ashkenazim. We spent an entire, 2 weeks on, we were doing Gemara Orla Abasar. And we did Rashi. Next day, Rashi again, Rashi again. I'm like, can we get some get chillin' here, you know? I want some kishka. I want some. Anyway, every day they would ask somebody to daven. And I was in the shir. There was 8 guys in. 4 guys clearly looked Ashkenazi. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, he's not going to ask us, obviously. And all of a sudden, the guy next to me is totally Ashkenazi. He says, nope, but it. And all of a sudden, this Ashkenazi guy gets on, Hashem, Hashem, Yivarach Mi'ata. And it turns out everybody was Sephardi in the shir. They just, you know, had mixed marriages and they didn't look Sephardi, whatever. And I was the only Ashkenazi guy, and he never asked me to daven for the oven. And I'm like, I gotta get out of here. So I was very fortunate at the time. I was learning when I was learning in the Beis Medrash, we were learning in First Hall, that was where Rav Goldwicht learned. And I met this smiley rabbi with a mustache, and I started talking to him. And I asked to be in his shir, and The rest is history. And he was an absolute, and I'm pleased to take this in the most amazing way, nut job when it came to Torah. If you think I'm bad, I never saw anything like this. He had a shtender, he would break the shtender, he would throw chalk at people, and if you, God forbid, were sleeping, or if you came with a baseball hat, or if you came, you know, it always would joke with a guy that walked in with one of those Snapples, which Snapple just become very popular, but they don't sell small, so, you know, you would buy the big Snapple, and he goes, Akor Gadobe America, Akor Gadobe, he goes, well, you need Snapple, we're doing, I'm Snapple, I'm the sweetest Torah. It was amazing, and I'm like, wow, this guy is high on Torah, I want to be high on Torah. He's a nut job. I love it. And a lot of my tactics now, I took it extreme. It's because of him. But one thing my friend said to me when I entered this year, he says, you might have difficulty with the Hebrew in it. He says, but just one day, don't learn it all. So this sounds crazy what I'm about to say. Don't even listen to a shir. Just watch it. Pretend he's giving a shir in Chinese and you don't understand a word of it. If you are an outsider, you don't know a word, you see something like, what is he so passionate about? I want to be... And that's the tefillah that we say to Hashem every day. So many times a day. We said an Ahava Rabba today. We begged the Rabbanu Shalom. I'm begging you that it should be beautiful. Not that I should just learn Torah, but it should mean something to me. But one of our problems in life is that our tefillah is meaningless to us. We don't really think about it. Maybe we get up to a Rufa'inu and we add a name of somebody we know that's sick. But we say Abrech Eleinu and say, Rabbanu Shalom, you control my parnasa. My boss can call me today, God forbid, and say, you're fired. It can happen. Do I appreciate it? Do I really have it? Do I really believe Yerushalayim Yircha? Do I really want the base of English to be rebuilt? So it's the same thing with Torah. If you don't have it yet, daven for it. Daven that Hashem will give you a chelek that you'll love Torah. You'll find the right Rebbe, that you'll find the right... Jay came up to me last night at the wedding. I'm sorry to be... it's not my normal self. I apologize. The guy came up to me at the wedding and I had no idea who he was. No idea. I knew he was Jewish. He was wearing a yarmulke. I thought Leibniz alumni. That was my guess. And he said, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe, do you remember me? I was like, of course I remember you. Are you crazy? I have no idea who you are. And he says to me, what's your schedule during the week? I said, what is he trying to think what he's getting at? He goes, you know, I just finished Mechina and I'm going to the army. He says, oh, this is probably like a lev, guy didn't want to go to Lev Chayal. I went to Mechina instead. He says, probably a lev. He said, I want to come to your shir. He said, Mechina has been hard for me. I can't get, I goes, I go into Yitar, I listen to your shir all the time. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And when I had a key, that I said to him, oh, lessons from the lathe, and he was like, what? So I'm like, oh, maybe this guy's not a wife guy. Anyway, I finished the conversation. He takes my phone number. He wants to come to Shir. Unfortunately, he's going to be in Beit Shemesh tomorrow, and he wants to come. These guys snuck out and went on the Tiyul, which I didn't know about, of course. Nobody tells me anything. So I don't teach tomorrow. But so then we're on our way home, and I'm saying to my wife, I'm so embarrassed. This guy came up to me. So my son was... in the car as well. He's like, but you don't know who that is? I'm like, no, I told you I don't know who it is. So it turns out he's a guy from Camp Masora. He gave me that key because he told me that he went to Camp Masora. And he was in the Mechina program. There's a Mechina program, a very interesting Mechina program here in Israel, where basically you learn, I think something like this, you learn for half a year, and then you go to America for half a year, and you volunteer in different schools and stuff like that. So this Mechina went to camp for the summer and helped out in camp. And every Shabbos happened to be, you know, there wasn't as many. It's pretty bad if I'm the fluent Hebrew speaker in camp. I gave him a shir every Shabbos. So you never know. You never know. You're sitting in college somewhere, in the middle of nowhere, Nebuch Lo Aleinu. And all of a sudden, you become the rabbi. They ask you to give a parasha. And I always remember when I first moved here and I was working for a company in Yerushalayim, Delta 3. So this happens to me a lot. I don't know why. So it was a very beautiful thing. Every day, just about every day, we would eat lunch together. We had like a little bit of a big conference room. And Baruch Hashem, you had every morning, you had this thing that you were Sibus, where you were able to order from five different restaurants, all of which were kosher, and some even were Mahajan. And when you got your lunch, you could eat. I had an office. I could eat by myself. But you had with everybody. You know, there's a few Haredim there. They would never eat with. And it's beautiful to eat with other Jews and to talk to them. And in Israel, Baruch Hashem, there's nothing PC. So, you know, you sit and eat lunch. You know, you're not allowed to ask things. They would ask any question that's, you know. Daniel, tell us, how much money you make? Let me see a picture of your wife. She pretty? You know, like, oh, everything in the world. They're asking everything. So we get into discussions all the time about religion, which is, of course, the one thing you're not supposed to discuss. And anyway, we got into it and so forth, and they always saw me as, like, the rabbi, and they'd ask me all the questions, eh? And the famous, like, you know, klutz kashas. And they knew everything. So you had to be really careful what you said. Because, like, we were discussing Basar V'Cholov, and they're like, Daniel, todea shapasuk lo zelmer lo tisho gedi b'chalev imo. Zelo ofot. So why can't I have ofot? You know, they knew this stuff, right? I remember once, it was funny, we were arguing about something. The guy says, Avar katu b'svania. And he goes to the pasuk. I go, do, no New Testament. I'm like, what are you talking about? The guy's like, well, I was kidding. I'm like, svania? A yeshiva guy never learns svan. What is that? You know, Rav Shechter actually has a joke. I was in his shir for a week. And in that shir, I was just trying it out. And Rav Shechter said something very funny. He said, where's the pasuk? And said it out. And he goes, literally, a guy raised his hand. He goes, oh, the Gemara Bava Metzia. That's where the pasuk is. He goes, yeah, it's also in Malachi. You know, like, that's how we know Pesukim. If it's written somewhere, it's a song, then we know the Pesukim. Anyway, so I was talking to everybody. I said, would you, any of you guys be interested in a shir once a week? Men, women, I don't care, on the parsha, something on the parsha. And Baruch Hashem, for a good few months, I gave a shir. Me, little guy, with my broken Hebrew, you know. 10 people came. It was funny, because none of the firm people would come. Because they would be like, what do we need? We know Torah. I always have this problem. And why you? And I give shir, why you? So all the yeshiva guys sitting in the base medrash, they never come to my, Farsi, we're so much higher level than you are now, right? We're sitting in the base medrash, you know? So you never know the power you could have. There are a good number of guys, and I recommend this highly, who send out a Dvar Torah every week to their family. I think it's such a beautiful thing. There was a Talmud in the yeshiva. I hope I had a chelik in this. He was... you know, on the list for, you know, top 10 guys that were the worst guys in the yeshiva. Right? Really, this guy was bad. Let me tell you how bad this guy is. How bad was he? Ready for this one? Yom Kippur morning. Yom Kippur, it was Masaf, I'm not sure. He comes in, it was very warm to me. I used to give after Meir, I don't know if you still have Chaburas. I used to give a Chabur after Meir. We did Rav Zilberstein Shilas. And he was in my chabur. So as bad as he was, he started coming because he liked it. It was like crazy questions, and it was okay. So he knew me. Comes up to me. What's up, Rav? Hey, Rav. And all of a sudden, he puts on a talus, and he goes up to Duchen, to do Birchas Kohen. I pull him away. I said, yeah, chutzpah. What, you think this is a joke? You're not a Kohen. What are you talking about? Of course I'm a Kohen. He goes, yeah, it's the first time I'm Duchen all year. It wasn't that many weeks. You know, he never showed up on time. Anyway, so this guy, I really thought for the weeks he came, I don't know why he had the respect to come to my chabura. I was also, you know, I was crazy about it. Like, I would call the guy, where are you? And he would say stuff, but, like, it wasn't in the inyan of Torah. Like, he said things, but whatever. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one day I'm discussing something, and anybody who listens, I had this chus last night, I was listening to one of Rav Zilberstein's shir that he'd given last night. He has a derech. You could kind of guess the answers if you know Rav Zilberstein. Anyway, so I'm talking to new guys. What's the answer? What's the answer? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the guy looks at me and he's like, isn't it Genevas Das? I'm like, what did you just say? He's like, what? I didn't curse. I said, Genevas Das. You know? I said, yeah, it is 100%. You were listening the whole time. Good story, but it gets better. Friday morning, I receive a email from his dad. And the following email says the following. Please see email below. What have you done with my son? I want him back. It was a Dvar Torah that he sent to his entire family, this kid sent. And the father, knowing the kid's not doing very well, this kid started saying Dvar Torahs every week to his family. The family was shocked by it. It was beautiful. Little voice note to a family. You have no idea how your family will quell over the fact, wow, don't be crazy, you know, don't. I remember when I came back, my Shana Aleph, I came to the Seder, you know, as a fresh Shana Aleph guy, And I'm like, okay, so I want to start with an introduction. Here are the source sheets. And I'm going to give a 20-minute thing. And my sister's like, oh, my God. You know? Okay, you gotta know your crap. But we daven every single day that the Rabbonu Sha'olam will help us in learning. Something simple. I don't mean to offend anybody here. We dive into the Rabbonu Sha'olam. It shouldn't mean something to me. I shouldn't fall asleep during Shir. You've been to that Shir before. We've been to that Friday night drasha. We used to have a joke in yeshiva. It's not a joke, unfortunately, until we stopped going Friday night. The Rosh Yeshiva used to give a Shir in HaKotel between Mincha and Ma'ariv, you know, Kabbalah Shabbos. And it was such a good snooze time. You would wake up literally, you know, it would be to wash you. So afterwards, the Israelis got very upset that we would sleep during it. You understand, we didn't know Hebrew well. It was like ridiculous. So the Israelis used to come up to us and they go, Negelvasser, Negelvasser, you slept for 45 minutes. You have to do Negelvasser. It was true. So, yeah. I have a friend, you guys probably know this from Lessons from the Lev. I love Rav Bitterman. So I was zeichet to go to one of his shurim. But my friend says to me, you have to come with me to Ramat Gan. To Ramat Gan. He gives a shir every week, right next to Tel Aviv, in one of the shuls there. So I said to him, I would love to come. The problem is, he has no times, apparently. He gives a shir at 10 o'clock. It really starts at 11. It ends at like a 1. So he says, oh, so go Thursday night. He gives him Beit Shemesh. A shir, he does. I said, it's in Yiddish. He goes, so what? Just go. He goes, I go to shir all the time in Yiddish. I go, do you understand Yiddish? He goes, no. But just to sit there. There's something to sit there. Go, wow, that's a big, that's a high level. That I don't recommend. This week's power show. This is my, I talked to you about my top 10 vorts. Top 10. My family's sick of this vort, but I'll tell it to you anyway. I mentioned it on Lessons from the Lev this week. I actually remember saying it from this room to Shir Bet a few years ago. And I did something funny. I brought a sefer with me. And I said, I want to quote you something from this awesome sefer. It's a published sefer. And on, if I'm not mistaken, on Bar Mitzvah, it was a number of articles, great rabbis submitted articles for each parsha for Bar Mitzvah. And it was edited by my uncle, Mendy Gantra, Hashem should send him a refuah shleima. He's not doing so well now. And I quoted in this amazing article, this unbelievable Rav who wrote it. Parshas Vezois HaBracha from the Goyim Harav Daniel Hartstein. And I'm quoting this, and I don't tell him until the end that I wrote the article. And here's what I wrote there. This week's parasha, Pasuk says, right in the beginning of the parasha, Moshe is told by Hashem, there's an end game here. The end game of Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we know, is the Torah. We're going to get the Torah on Har Sinai. But then there's the ultimate end game, and that's Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbe Lomshim says, I'm giving you the land of Israel, Moirasha, as a Moirasha, as a camp, no, as a Moirasha. I challenge you, can anybody hear, what is the English word for Moirasha? Inheritance. Anybody want to say that he's 100% so wrong? What? Where?
Heritage.
What?
Heritage.
Cheater, but yeah, heritage. There's a difference. Let me tell you what the difference is. What's the difference? Can you tell me?
Well, there's the difference between that and there's another word for it.
Heritage and inheritance.
No. So the difference that the Rav Gifter.
This guy's
said,
schooling me now. He's telling me Rav Gifter.
No.
Rav Gifter. Gamekeeper.
Rav Gifter says that the difference is that in this pasuk, it's not something that we get like we inherit it, but only partially. We don't get to fully make the decision about everything. But usually, when you inherit something or
you get to do with what you want with it.
You get to do whatever you
beautiful.
Want.
Beautiful. Right, so it's true. You're not incorrect, by the way. Our school decided to write the word heritage. More and more Mefortune that I actually saw on this. There's a great sefer, and we may have it in the base medrash. It has very quick vorts. I mean, not vorts. It asks a question on the pasuk, pshat of pasuk, and gives you Arbarbanel, Radak, you know, Rashi, what everybody says. And it says the word Morasha, and it quotes five perushim that say Yerusha. But it's a different type of Yerusha. a normal Yerusha you get, right? I give my Mr. Beast. I never heard of this guy. You know Mr. Beast is, right? Everybody here probably knows, right? Yeah. So Mr. Beast, which I never heard of before, and then I found out one of my kids, at least, is obsessed with Mr. Beast. It's good theatrics, what he does. So Mr. Beast has a challenge. I'm going to give you $1 million, but you have to spend it in 24 hours, right? Doesn't sound like much of a challenge. I could do it in 4 hours, whatever. So you wake up the next morning, you don't have $1 million anymore. That's an inheritance. Grandpa passes away, he leaves you $24 million. Right? You hear this all the time about the lotto. People win, and usually they... there's all these great stories just so they can put it on E-Entertainment Network. You know, the guy that won $24 million and now is in jail. You know, like, whatever. Inheritance means you get something. Your father says, here's the family business, shkoyach. And after he leaves the family, within a few days, you could... The heritage is much different. A heritage is I'm giving you something, but you're not going to be successful unless you work hard on it. Eretz Yisrael is a heritage. It's something that we're supposed to appreciate, but as you guys know, unless you're here, you don't get it. One of the greatest moments when I'm on my... momentum trip with the Charlie Hararis of the world is seeing hundreds of men come to the Kotel for the first time and start gasping and crying over what we all know is a wall. And most of them will say, I'm not religious. I don't understand why I'm crying. I don't know what's going on here. But you have to be there to get it. And it's just an amazing feeling. That's what Torah is. The famous tagline of the New York Lotto. You have to be in it to win it. Right? Right? After, I always find it very, very funny that when the lotto is, 5 and 10 and 20 minutes, when it's 100 and something million, then people are like, oh, now I'm going to, you have the worst odds ever. Why? Because that, 150 million, that I really could use. 5 million, what do I need 5 million for? It always happens like that. If they say the numbers and you're like, I cannot believe I didn't win. And the person next to you is like, oh, how many tickets did you buy? None. So you got to be in it. I have to invest in Torah. Blood, sweat, tears. This is what the Ha'im Adover says. The Nitziv says this. Yehudle Diskin says this. But guess what, Rabbi Yisai? The word Morasha is written another time in the Torah. Where is that? When you're little kids, this is the first pasuk you should learn. Torah, 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 Torah. Torah, Tzivah, Moshe. Morasha, Kilas Yankiv. It's a Morasha. That's what Torah is. That's what Eretz Yisrael is. It's an investment. You have to work hard at it. It's amazing if your father's a Talmud Chacham. It's amazing if your grandfather is. That's great. Doesn't mean anything for you. Doesn't mean anything. You have to work hard on it with your kishkas. And I know that this is antithetical to the generation that we live in. Because we're taught that we don't want to work hard on anything. We have robots that do everything for us and we don't do anything ourselves anymore. Right? God forbid I should even set my alarm clock. Who sets an alarm clock? You say, I can't say it because, hey, somebody, 7:00, whatever. I don't want to have to go into the app and right. We don't work on things, right? We look for quick fixes. We look at that infomercial at 2:00 in the morning that tells me that if I use the FabMab, Fatterator thing for 10 minutes, it's like I worked out for 40 minutes. I'll take that. Oh, you have a pill for me? Oh, I'll take that. But I don't want to do the long haul. I don't want to excuse me for saying, I don't want to take the long short way. What's it called? What's the book? What's the book called? The Sefer. The Rebbe's Sefer. The long or short way. Something. Okay, whatever. I'm glad you're so adamant about the Sefer that your Rebbe wrote. In any case, right? But he's right. The long way is off of the shorter way. That's the only way you can accomplish and be good at something. It's true. If you're going to be in a movie next week and you need to lose X amount of weight, so there is a way to do that. It's not going to last, but there's a way to do that for the movie. Just like there's a way to gain the weight. It doesn't last, but it's the same thing over here at Bayside. It's the same thing. You have to work on it. It's not easy. You want to be good at something? So you want to be a good reader? Guess what you have to do? You have to read a lot. There's no shortcut. So you're not good at learning a sefer because it's in Hebrew, so you got to read more. I don't care if you read it with English on the side. You're only going to perfect the language if you work on it. That is something that is hard for us because we're not used to that. That's marriage, Rabbi Isai. Marriage is not easy. You have to work on marriage. Something that you work on and you work on and you work on. And hopefully with time you get better at it. But it's not just there. So, oh, that's it. It got marriage. Now everything's amazing. I saw it was in the movies. That's the way it's always great. No. These are the Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to allow you to now hopefully ask some deep, enlightening questions. But this is the part we'll put on Vayei Torah. And the Mirtzah Shabbat will help people in understanding what the journey is.